This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The large question here is whether Tim Schwartz had glowing eyes when he said the Paracast in our previous segment. Steve Ward's with us. We're talking about creatures with glowing eyes. He raised the specter of the co-creation hypothesis. Of course, our old friend Greg Bishop has talked with us a lot about that. Steve, go on.
Well, remember Stan Gordon did great research in Pennsylvania, and there was this great wave of Bigfoot and UFO reports in 73, 74. These particular Bigfoots were very strange. I think some of these guys had green glowing eyes. They made sounds like a baby crying. Allegedly, sometimes when they were shot, they would disappear into a flash of light or remain completely unaffected. One of the witnesses said when he was sure he hit it, and it sounded like it went into a water, the bullet. And again, these were connected with strange-looking lights and maybe even strange-looking craft. Well, then, let's go over to some of the basic sightings in, say, the Northwest. They don't necessarily have those kinds of trappings, the red glowing eyes and so forth, although some of those apparently flesh and blood cryptids do seem to exhibit some paranormal activity. Ron Moorhead, out in the middle of nowhere, the Sierra Nevadas, has found footprints that stopped dead. One of the ideas that was presented a long time ago was this paranormal mimicry. You have perhaps some real unknown animals off in the Northwest. You have some UFOs that possibly are extra-dimensional or come from other planets that are physical and solid. But they have this mechanism somehow in human consciousness that mimics them, and then we get these sort of counterfeit Bigfoots in Pennsylvania that evaporate when you shoot them or have a short existence span.
I like the word counterfeit. Wouldn't you rather say temporary?
Yes, well, the temporary manifestation, I think of sometimes as a counterfeit of what might be the real flesh and blood creature. Again, we look at what people are experiencing, and at one level, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I visited, there's a gentleman named Lee Hample, who has a farm just off of Bray Road. And he has become a colleague of Linda Godfrey. And of course, we know Linda has written a great series of books on these dogman sightings, starting with the Beast of Bray Road. But of course, she's covered all kinds of interesting cryptids. Well, this man is a retired mathematics teacher, 45 years in the Illinois school system, a man of science. He starts farming after his retirement on this piece of land. And some of the locals are telling him things like, you know, there's a werewolf that lives in your woods back there. And he said, what are you talking about? And then he's having credible people tell him that there's something, some upright canid or whatever. And then he sees it himself. He starts putting out trap cameras where these things, some kind of an animal, is taking bait away but not photographed. And then he starts getting – we saw a bunch of these photographs at the last Beast of Bray Road conference last October. And for 2 hours, we're sitting there seeing these incredible photographs he's got over all his property of things that look like classic UFOs, weird machinery, footprints that start in the middle of nowhere in the snow and then end somewhere. And so he actually contacted Linda Godfrey after he found out some of this stuff was real. And he told Linda, he said, you know, if I had seen one of your books 3 months earlier, I would have thrown it in the trash. But now he's convinced that there's something. He has even used the word portal. He has tried to get universities involved. He has sent photographs of the tracks to the DNR and to other experts, and they all tell him. One woman told him, apparently, that he's a liar. He made it up. Somebody else told him that he bought pogo sticks from some store and was jumping in the snow to make these tracks. But I you know, talked to him one-on-one. The Bucks County Paranormal Team out of Pennsylvania were there one night, and they've got a half-hour video up where something was out there howling back and forth. I don't know what it was, but they said they saw eye shine 6 feet off the ground, plus they saw a strange light in the sky that was moving erratically. So, again, you've got one of these areas where credible people are experiencing something, but it is so hard to put it together and make sense of it. These creatures, these dogmen, act like animals. They eat roadkill. They eat bait. Yet, there's some kind of, it seems, some kind of technology that prevents them from being photographed. But there is something very, very strange that seems high-tech going on this property. So to try and reconcile that is enough to give you a headache. So that's why I'm just very interested in all these areas where and why. Why is this dog man? Now, he said he's seen other types of creatures on this property. One is more like a hyena kind of a creature that sounds like something from the Skinwalker Ranch. But, you know, how do we reconcile the high-tech aspects and then the cryptid aspects? The dog man don't make any sense. Mothman didn't really make any sense as a real creature.
And, of course, the area that you're referring to is in Wisconsin.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, right near Elkhorn, Wisconsin, in fact.
And I suppose the difference, though, is that this is a location where these kind of occurrences have been going on for quite a while. If neighbors warned this guy after he moved in there,
oh, yeah,
that there's weird stuff. While the Mothman activity that took place at Point Pleasant seems to have had really just kind of a short lifespan.
Although there were some reports back around World War II, around the Elk River. Elk River kind of comes down and feeds into the Ohio, I think. It all connects together. Maybe it's the Kanawha it feeds into. But they were seeing, there was a book of folklore called The Haunted Valley that talks about these winged birdmen with red plumage with about 12-foot wingspan and bald heads seen above, and people were keeping their children in at night and even during the daytime. And it's just this brief series of sightings of these birdmen. This is, like I say, around World War II. If you go back a few years earlier, there is the Elk River Bridge collapsed. It collapsed on December 15th, like the bridge collapsed in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. It was a kind of odd number of years, probably just a coincidence. And maybe these other birdmen had nothing to do with this other bridge collapse. I don't really think that the Mothman or this apparition caused the bridge collapse. And I'm not even sure, like some think, it was a harbinger. But, you know, when you talked earlier about having legs, all these things seem to have legs. They have, it's like you throw the pebble in the pond and these ripples go out in all kinds of directions, and you gather all this information and you think, well, this is going to solve it, right? And it just kind of makes it more and more mysterious.
Well, and in the Point Pleasant area, while Mothman was going on, I mean, there were also all kinds of other unusual activity. UFOs, men in black. I mean, you know, you could just make up a list that would be, you know, like a ufologist dream of weird activity going on at the same time.
And here's something else to kind of throw in. There was a Swedish researcher whose name escapes me at the moment, but he followed John Keel in just a couple of years afterwards and actually talked to some of the original witnesses of the Mothman and found more. Many of them had outbreaks of a poltergeist phenomena in their homes afterwards. So how do you tie this to an unknown creature? Here's another bizarre connection that kind of possibly brings us back to the dog man. I was listening to a gentleman, a retired professor from Wayne State University at a Michigan MUFON meeting. He was talking about his research into Bigfoot and UFOs in Michigan. And it wasn't really for public consumption, but he had some claimed to have some weird experiences. But the thing that stood out...
Let's find out about the thing that stood out, though, in our next segment with Steve And Tim and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils. But what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
What stood out is that strange voice that regaled us in the previous segment with Tim Swartz. Steve Ward, go on, please, about what stood out.
It was a very regaling voice, by the way.
We're so regaled that we're seeing all sorts of creatures appear in our midst.
Well, John Keel, when he investigated the Norse power plant after the sighting, had gone down there and interviewed a lot of the witnesses, original witnesses that had just had sightings of the Mothman. He found these strange little skinny footprints or whatever that he thought perhaps might belong to this thing. But he also found what he called large dog-like footprints. And he said they must have been made by a very heavy animal, 200 or 300 pounds, because of the way it was depressed into the ground. So I thought, the same professor, he had said this in his lecture. He said, we keep finding these dog-like footprints and these paranormal hotspots. And I thought, this is like 50 years apart. Also, in the Mothman Prophecies, Teal talks about this. He says that he consulted with Ivan Sanderson. Again, Ivan Sanderson was the great British naturalist transplanted to New Jersey, friend and colleague of John Keel. I guess his most famous book was probably Abominable Snowman, Legend Come to Life. And he wrote great books on UFOs and the unexplained. Sanderson said, yes, we keep finding these large dog-like footprints in these areas. It's unfortunate there's no more information than that. And these people are long gone. We can't ask them.
With regard to Ivan Sanderson, there are a couple of interviews that one of our other co-hosts, Bob Zanotti, has with Ivan Sanderson that he recorded for his Coffee Klatch radio show in the 1960s. And in the very near future, we're going to offer them up for listeners to our premium service, the Paracast Plus, just to let you know. Steve, go on.
So, well, I consulted with Linda Godfrey and asked what she thought about it. She was familiar with the passage in the Mothman Prophecies and so forth. And she said, yes, they do find these footprints, and not necessarily, you know, with the sighting of the animal that made it. So she wanted to warn me. She said, you have to be very careful these days because they're finding people that are actually faking these footprints, people that are knowledgeable about these sightings. And I guess somebody that knows tracks and so forth, it's pretty easy to determine. But she said people should be very careful about jumping on the bandwagon when they see an unusual footprint, that somebody might be having a little bit of fun. But here's my point. You've got four researchers separated by half a century, all telling us that large dog-like footprints keep showing up in these paranormal hotspots. It's only been kind of recently that we've been hearing reports about the dogmen, and not just near Elkhorn in Wisconsin off Bray Road, but all over the world, really. A lot of people are sort of coming out of the closet with their story, and I wonder if it was, you know, almost acceptable to be able to talk about your Bigfoot report, even as strange as that might be. But boy, an upright canid about 6 feet tall with yellow eyes. No, we're going to stay away from that. But anyway, this is another one of these interesting possible parallels that it's so hard to make sense of. What would that tell us about these types of creatures if these footprints are prevalent? We have four researchers, Linda Godfrey, this gentleman from retired Wayne State University professor, Ivan Sanderson and John Keel, all saying that these footprints, these large dog-like footprints, show up in these paranormal hotspots. These are researchers separated by half a century. So you wonder, what's going on here? What does this say about the nature of the dogman? You know, a lot of these reports are coming to the surface now. People are talking about that they've seen these things 20 years ago, but they just shut up about it. It's almost like, in a way, that as strange as a Bigfoot report is, that maybe it's not quite so unacceptable to say they saw something like that in the woods that might have been a Bigfoot. But an upright canid with glowing eyes, that might have been a little bit too much around the bend. But now more and more of those reports are coming out, and they seem to exist in conjunction with other stuff that goes on in these particular areas.
I think that, you know, probably a lot of these older cases, when people did dare to report them, they would say that they were like werewolves. They look like the traditional movie werewolf. I mean, you know, you've got a big canid walking upright. Hey, it's a werewolf.
And of course, you know, to tell somebody you saw a werewolf, you know, out of like a Hammer horror film or, you know, the old classic horror movies, isn't going to give you a lot of credibility.
No. It's like you were saying earlier, I mean, you had all of these cases in Wisconsin around Bray Road of werewolf, quotation marks around that, werewolves, could have been dog man. What's the difference, you know?
It's funny because when Linda Godfrey started checking into this, she was writing a column for, I think it was a little newspaper called The Week. She was doing cartoons and doing a little column. Well, she started hearing about these reports and she went to the local sheriff and he actually had a file folder there that said werewolf because that's where he was keeping these reports he didn't know what to do with that people were credible people were seeing something out there in this area. So that kind of opened the floodgates. These things have been seen all over. Winged apparitions have been seen all over. Various types of Bigfoot-like creatures have been seen all over. I'm always asking, why do these things manifest, whether they're apparition or paraphysical or whatever? Is it something within us? Is it something, a natural condition of the planet we just don't understand? I think that's kind of where Kiel was. You know, on the other hand, when you look at some of the entity reports, Jacques Vallée did a great job in looking at various traditions and folklore. There are certainly connections with folkloric traditions and some modern-day UFO experiences. I guess most notably, we could talk about missing time. You know, from the Betty and Barney Hill experience on, very common in UFO encounters. And it was common when people would talk about the fairies or the little people would have this time distortion where they thought they were encountering the fairies for an hour, but the whole day had gone by. So there are definitely these connections that are fascinating. You catalog them, you muse on them, and then it's just very hard to take it beyond that and try to understand what is going on. I suspect that these things are not necessarily all coming from us, all created by us. If I were to use Albert Rosales's phrase, the others amongst us, it does seem like in some cases we have to be dealing with some kind of a other entity, some other being, wherever they come from, that there is actually a physicality and a separateness to some of these creatures. But I'm going to try and separate the wheat from the chaff and figure out objectively what's going on is very challenging.
Well, that was one of John Keel's theory, is that we were dealing with some other type of consciousness that exists outside of our reality and that for whatever reason is able to intrude upon our own, do whatever it is that it does, and then disappear again.
Yeah, he used the term ultra-terrestrial, which I guess he said he borrowed from Ivan Sanderson. In later years, he said he kind of used it as a literary device. It could have been something from another reality or on a different frequency, perhaps, would be a better way to put it. I think ultimately he was trying to come to grips with something that was, much of it was natural to our planet.
We got Steve, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is promising full federal support to people in Colorado affected by a devastating wildfire. Biden making the pledge to local residents Friday after touring the damage left by the Marshall Fire in Boulder County. About 1,000 homes were destroyed and tens of thousands were forced to evacuate. Plenty of reaction still coming in to the December jobs report, which fell short of expectations, with 199,000 jobs being added compared to the estimated of more than 420,000. Chairman and CEO of Forbes Media, Steve Forbes, says a lot of this falls back on the administration.
Ignores the fact that before the COVID crisis hit, American unemployment was lower. Lower income people's wages were rising at a faster pace than the rest of the workforce.
USA Radio News. The United States reported around 1 million new COVID cases on Friday. This as a highly transmissible Omicron variant continues to spread. Meanwhile, President Biden on Friday told reporters he doesn't think COVID is here to stay. Dr. Bob Lahita, director for the autoimmune and rheumatic diseases at St. Joseph Health, says he differs from the president's stance and expects the virus to stick around.
I think he's wrong. I think COVID is here to stay, just like influenza is here to stay. And I predict that when the pandemic goes away, we're going to have an endemic virus. And perhaps people will be creative and create a vaccine that will include both the flu and the coronavirus every year.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. This year's Golden Globe, set to take place Sunday, will be a low-key ceremony with no audience. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
It certainly is the Paracast, and we have Stephen Ward and Tim Swartz, our special guest co-host. And Stephen is regaling us with all sorts of fascinating details about cryptids, about high strangeness. Go on, please.
When we lost connection there for a moment, I was talking to Tim about these interesting patterns that show up. Of course, we have in the literature, we have all kinds of situations where the close proximity of a strange light or an apparent metallic craft causes a vehicle to stall. But there's other things that seem to affect automobiles. And there was a case in 1960, Northumberland, England. A woman named Dorothy Strong is in a taxi cab, and all of a sudden the cab stalls, and she and the cabbie look outside the window, and they see essentially a phantom army marching toward them in full uniform. But, of course, they're translucent, and as the soldiers get closer to the taxi cab, they start to disappear. The fare meter in the cab was going nuts, and they felt like they were being kind of buffered by some kind of an invisible force field. Eventually, the army dissipates. Everything goes back to normal. Now, they said this was the Battle of Otterburn from 1388. And the reason they know that is because it has manifested before. And they know from the uniform that that's what it was, the Battle of Otterburn. Now, we have other stories of phantom armies from Gettysburg and so forth, something that doesn't happen all the time but does occur. And I guess it isn't too much of a stretch to think that if an apparition in a haunted house can drain a battery in a flashlight or a camera, that a phantom army might be enough to drain the power, at least temporarily, in an automobile. So then let's get a little stranger. There was a gentleman named W.D. Doc Priestley, nicknamed Doc, and he's cruising along a two-lane near Marlington, West Virginia, along the state forest there. He's following up a hunting bus of his buddies. They're going off somewhere, I guess, for their hunt. And all of a sudden, Priestley's car cruises to a stop, and he looks over to his left, and he sees a classic Bigfoot creature. Now, these things had been seen in the area at this time, and its hair seems to be standing on end a little bit, like there's some kind of static electricity or something going on. His buddies eventually see that he's not behind him. They're starting to come back toward him. The Bigfoot decides to recede back into the woods, and Priestley is able to start his car again. So he gets going, cruising down the road a little ways. All of a sudden, it doesn't tell his buddies, by the way. He's completely mum about what happened. So he gets a little ways down the road. Car stalls again. The engine starts smoking. And he looks over, and there's either his buddy's back or a kissing cousin. The Bigfoot standing there, his car's engine is actually burned out. A friend of mine did some, a woman named Zelia Edgar did some extra research into this and found out that this guy actually didn't tell anybody about this experience until months later because he was afraid his hunting buddies wouldn't come back to that area to go hunt because of the Bigfoot there. So that almost makes it believable, you know, that looking at this aspect of human nature, going to keep it quiet so his buddies wouldn't abandon him on his hunt. There's other, Stan Gordon found some cases like that, where a close proximity of a Bigfoot seems to be the cause of the car stalling. Of course, we can't be sure of that. But I want to give you my favorite vehicle stoppage of all time. It may not even be true. But there was a researcher named Elliot O'Donnell. He wrote several books in the late 1800s, early 1900s. We could probably call him one of the first paranormal investigators. This happened to his uncle, allegedly. He calls him Mr. B. And it's in Ireland. It's on a haunted road going toward Limerick. And Mr. B is being driven in his little carriage, one-horse carriage, by his servant named Dunkley. Now, I think that gives it kind of an air of authenticity. If you're going to make up a story, you're not going to say the servant's name is Dunkley, right? So they're cruising along. It's night, almost a full moon, very peaceful. And all of a sudden, the horse stops dead. Mr. B turns around. He sees the horse is shivering. Dunkley has a look of terror on his face, and he's in kind of a stupor. He can't seem to function. He looks down, and he sees a group of shadowy, translucent figures swarming around the cart. And he doesn't know what's going on, but he grabs the reins, breaks the spell, and they take off. They get some distance away. He asks his servant, "What happened? What did you see?" And he said, in his mind's eye, he saw a troop of dancing fairies making merry. And apparently, when you come upon the fairies and they're celebrating, they're making merry, that's bad news. They don't like that. So they look angry. They were starting to climb on the cart. And again, from his perspective, they were trying to pull him off. Mm-hmm. And this guy was terrified. Again, who knows if it's true or not. But in so many modern day experiences, people don't always experience exactly the same thing. Look at Betty and Barney Hill. Betty was conscious and a live wire the whole time. Barney wasn't always conscious. Sometimes his eyes were closed. Sometimes I think he might have been asleep. I'm not sure. And while they had a very similar experience, Jacques Vallée and others have pointed out that when you get into some of the detail, there were some notable differences. One is that one of them saw the aliens with sort of two slits for a nose. The other one saw more of a Jimmy Durante nose. Now, the young kids out there will have to Google Jimmy Durante, I guess, to know what the hell I'm talking about. And of course, there's many abduction cases where people are – sometimes one person is awake, can see what's going on, and they can't even wake the other person. So I don't know if there's a parallel there or not. That definitely is my favorite vehicle stoppage of all time when it comes to a cart and a horse.
That brings us, though, to that commonality of unusual events happening on the roads. Again, I mean, you know, you could write multiple books on bizarre stuff that happens to people while they're driving, you know, on a road somehow. it's almost like these things want to be seen on roads. I mean, how many cases do we have of people seeing Bigfoot running across the road in front of their car? How many cases of people being abducted by UFOs when one comes and lands right in front of the car and goes about its business?
And I gave you the example of all the strange stuff going on in Lee Hample's property. This thing is seen occasionally. They've even captured what might be part of it, kind of a part of a silhouette of it on one of these trap cameras. And again, occasionally you see this technology. Are they making mistakes? Are they unable to cloak themselves the whole time? Or are they allowing us to see so much, I don't know, to guide our belief systems or whatever? I think maybe that even, Tim, comes into the kind of the trickster aspect of all this. There is an element of just sort of the mindless, not so much monsters from the id, but that trickster aspect that Carl Jung talked about and exists in so many traditions. You know, I think about, the Skinwalker Ranch, and I'm talking about more the book than the TV show, The Hunt for the Skinwalker by Knapp and Kelleher. If you isolate certain aspects of that, you think, well, this is E.T. or beings coming from some other dimension. If you look at all the aspects of it, you get poltergeist phenomena, weird disembodied voices. You get displaced objects. Remember the story about the prize bowls, that the moment Gwen Sherman said to her husband, this is in the midst of all the craziness that's going on there, she said, I pray nothing ever happens to those bowls. Hmm. They get back in 20 minutes, and they're not in the pen. And they're frantic. There's no tracks or whatever. They find them crammed in this white trailer, abandoned trailer that they haven't even used. And they're in kind of a stupor. They finally wake them up. They bust their way out. It takes hours to regroup them. And I found that's another interesting pattern, displaced livestock. The animal mutilation aspects are creepy enough. But if you look at, there's another series of bizarre events that occurred in southwest Wales, Dyfed Wales, chronicled by F.W. Holliday.
Let's talk about that in our next segment with Steve, Tim, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue with all these high strangers events, Steve.
Parallels with Displaced Livestock. A great book I recommend, and there are actually several books on these occurrences. Took place primarily in 1977 in a place called Dyfed, Wales, and that's spelled D-Y-F-E-D. F.W. Holliday, known as the a Loch Ness researcher, and Randall Pugh, another excellent UFO investigator, they investigated all these bizarre occurrences in this section of Wales over this year, this particular year. They 7-foot silver-suited giants coming out of egg-shaped craft. There were little guys that looked kind of like leprechauns coming out of the same type craft, slanted eyebrows, curved nose, all wearing these little silver suits. It was just a three-ring circus of the paranormal and a lot of possible parallels with folklore. Well, the Riverston Farm, Billy Coombs, he was a cattle farmer, and they had 100 cattle penned up. One night, the pen is still locked up, and they're all gone. Where are they? A half mile away on the Broadmoor farm. Now, some people said, okay, it was a prankster. They opened up the gate, and they herded one night all these 100 cattle a half mile away past the window where they sleep, and they didn't wake up, and led them to the Broadmoor farm as some kind of a practical joke. Okay. A couple days later, Billy Coombs separates 16 of these cows, and he puts them in a pen. He turns around, goes into the barn, turns on the milk machines, and turns around to come back to lead them in. So essentially, the same thing happened. These 16 cows end up a half mile away at the Broadmoor farm. The other thing about this being a hoax, I don't know how they could have gotten those cows, 16 cows out of there. Maybe the milk machines were loud, I don't know. But the cows would actually have to travel to a point and then make a 90-degree angle turn. And cows usually don't, you know, make those kinds of decisions by themselves. Another bizarre case of this displacement. And in the midst of this, there's all kinds of aerial phenomena, strange creatures. You even have, there's people that were in close proximity to these 7-foot silver-suited giants that they said looked like they were wearing boiler suits. Some of them developed a dermatological condition they couldn't identify. Well, there's something called elf burn from the old days that if people encountered the elves, they would get some kind of a strange condition. Can't say it's the same thing. Who knows? But then I was fortunate to interview a man named Alan Godfrey. He was the famous abduction case, 1980, Todmorden, England. And he was called out because the people were finding cows in this gated community. I mean, they couldn't figure out who opened the gate, how did they get in there? So Godfrey thinks at first it's a joke, and he's talking to one of the older ladies that reported it, and she said, "I may be old, but I'm not crazy." And in fact, they find these cows. She also saw a strange light in the area, may or may not be connected. So Godfrey, on his way back to the, this is early morning, on his way back to the police station, has a classic flying saucer encounter. He even makes draws a diagram of it. I think it's recounted in his book, Why Are They Here? And he's getting some notoriety now. They're making a movie about his experience. So he gets back to the police station, and then later on he realizes, oh, wait a minute, I'm missing about 25 minutes or a half hour. So months go by, he pursues it, undergoes regressive hypnosis. His case is other similar, possibly fairy or folklore overtones. It does have the little short guys that were so ugly he couldn't look at them, that sounded kind of like grays. He had the tall figure, which is so often in these cases, there's a tall gray or a tall, almost angelic type person that seems to be in control or whatever. This man called himself Yosef. He looked human, and he was wearing these white robes, and they had a conversation. Well, under hypnosis, he gets to a point where there's a pause, and Godfrey says, "There's a bloody dog in here, and it's hideous." There was a large black dog, according to his testimony under hypnosis, in this ostensibly extraterrestrial craft. Sort of what, Shades of the Black Shuck, perhaps? The black spectral dog that haunts the moors and the ancient castles of England? So, again, we're talking about different cases with some different situations, but you get some of these patterns where, you, in these cases, you get this displaced livestock. There was even supposed to have been another case on the Skinwalker Ranch in years earlier, where a couple cows were found in a barn, a small shed, I guess, stacked on top of each other. Things, it brings up the shades of the trickster again, or maybe I'm using the trickster in relation to things that I just can't fathom, try to make some logical sense of it. So that's another pattern. John Keel, he had these great catchphrases, and one was, ask the contactee what they had for breakfast. Now, of course, he didn't literally want to know if they had post toasties or not, but he wanted to get through to the investigator to find out all about that individual. So I decided to start to do that because he found that people that had a paranormal experience or an abduction experience that might have had experiences all their life or had other kinds of experiences. A few years ago, a young lady named Missy contacted me from New Hampshire. She had a missing time experience, she and her husband. Now, at this point, she had not made a breakthrough through hypnosis to find out what may have happened to her. And they lived near Londonderry, New Hampshire. They were not far from an airport. They were very familiar with the lights and the aircraft that went over. This one morning, they're standing out on the porch very early, and they see these strange lights coming toward them, and they don't know what they are. Suddenly, they're not standing next to each other anymore. It's a little bit lighter out, and they look up, and they see this giant black triangle so low it's touching the tops of the treetops. And they did what so many people do in these experiences. They didn't even think about it. They didn't talk about it. They went back to bed. Later on that morning, she realized they were missing time. And so she was on a quest to find out. And like I say, at that point, she had not been successful. But I asked her a series of John Keel-style questions. And to make a long story short, here's what I found out. They were experiencing haunting phenomena in their house. They were having electrical problems in their house. Both her sons were experiencing orb phenomena. The youngest one was seeing these golden orbs dancing outside his window at night. The other son had a ball of light come up to him in the house, circle him, and then go off through a wall in another part of the house. And at one point I said, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but I knew that people that would have these experiences may have also had some kind of a cryptid experience. So I asked her, I said, have you ever seen anything like a Bigfoot or some kind of an animal that you couldn't explain? And she said, no. And she said, oh, wait a minute. My mother-in-law and sister-in-law saw something very strange near this property, and this thing was seen twice. And what they described was something that looked like a black panther, only standing on two legs. So if my sensibilities, if my research abilities were frozen in the 1960s, I would have said, oh, I hope you make your breakthrough with your under hypnosis and find out where the aliens came from and what they did. But because others, and Rosemary Ellen Guiley, by the way, I saw her speak at a Mothman festival one time. She was investigating experiences of shadow people. She discovered that, to her surprise, that a significant percentage of people that had some kind of a bedroom invader or saw a shadow person or apparition somewhere were also classic alien abductees.
You know, I want to ask you about this before we go on, because there is a lot of dispute with regard to the value of using hypnosis to recover memories of any traumatic experience, whether it's alien abductions and others. As a matter of fact, Kevin Randall was co-author of a book that very much covered that subject, and we've talked about it, where maybe the hypnotic session, if under proper controls without leading the witness, could help somewhat, but if it's bringing back memories that are otherwise suppressed, it may just end up not being an accurate representation of what really happened to the person. I wanted to get your viewpoint on that as we move to our next segment. We're talking with Stephen Ward. He has for many, many years been exploring the high strangeness aspect of the strange and unknown, and I'm told he's also interested in the Richard Shaver mystery. I want to ask him about that a little bit later. In any case, our guest co-host this week is Tim Swartz. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.